Shalom. In this week's Parsha, we see that Yitro, right at the beginning of the Parsha, it says that he came to Bnei Israel. Why did he come? He came because he heard what Hashem did for Am Yisrael, that he took him out of Egypt. As the Pasuk says, that Yitro heard about all that Hashem had done for Bnei Israel, and therefore he came. On the spot, Rashi says, what is it exactly that Yitro heard that made him come? He says two things: the splitting of the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the war with Amalek, and Milchemes Amalek. Now, there's several questions I want to share with you. Question number one: what is it about these two things that, because of them, Yitro came? So, one of them is obvious: the splitting of the sea. Okay, that's a huge thing. But there's another nekuda. What's the other reasoning? The other compelling event was the war with Amalek. There were things that are on that caliber, at least, if not more, all the 10 plagues. What was it special about the Milchemes Amalek that made him come? That's question number one. Question number two. We know that Matan Torah, in this week's parsha, we have Matan Torah, the giving over of the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Israel. Now, it is the foundation of the entire world, both in a spiritual and physical sense. So it seems to have been more appropriate to designate a full center for this. Why do we have to also put in the episode with Yitro? More than that, Yitro is way more fitting to be in the previous parsha we had last week, Parshas Beshalach, because the two compelling events for him to come, which was the war with Amalek, as well as the splitting of the sea, that was in last week's parsha. So it would have been fitting to be there better than this week's parsha. Now the question is even strengthened, according to Rashi's opinion, that he says that Yitro in fact did not join Bnei Israel until after the giving of the Torah. So it's almost not in the right position, even chronologically. So why didn't the Torah feel it was mandatory to bring, before the giving of the Torah, to bring the episode of Yitro's arrival? What is going on over here? And lastly, what is it that Yitro did that he deserved the whole parsha, a whole sedra, to be called upon his name? So before I explain in depth this idea that comes out of all these questions, which will be the master key to answer all these questions, I want to share with you a Zohar. The Zohar on Parshas Yisroi says the following. The Zohar asked, did only Yisroi hear and the whole world did not hear about what happened? In fact, it says, Mefurash, it says that the nations heard and shuddered. And we say this in davening every day. And the answer brings down the Zohar is that the whole world heard and were not humbled. But Yitro heard and was humbled, and hence was drawn closer to fear Hashem. What do we see from here? The concept is that many people see things, hear things, feel things, but do they act upon what they saw? Meaning, do they internalize what they saw or what they heard and act upon it? Or, the way a regular person is programmed is that he hears something, he goes to an amazing shiur, and he says, wow, that was amazing. But what does he do with it? Nothing. So it goes in one ear, comes out the other, and finished. And it's a historical event. It dissipates. But what did he do with it? Nothing. The concept that we're learning from Yitro over here, which is a fundamental concept, is that when you hear something that's real, then you have to use it, internalize it, and act upon it to get closer to Hashem through that experience. And you can only do that if you act immediately upon it. Or else, like I said, it just wears off. Many people hear, but few really take to heart what they heard and take action. As the Midrash Tanchuma says also, that there are those that hear and lose, and there are those that hear and profit. Bottom line, hearing and listening properly and acting accordingly is the key to one's success in this world. In this week's parsha, Hashem directly speaks to us. It says, and Hashem spoke. But before Hashem speaks, before we give in the Torah, we have to ensure the prerequisite is to know how to listen. Unless we have an ear to listen and to internalize and to act, even the most powerful messages, from the mouth of Hashem himself, are totally lost. And this is exactly why that the fact that Yitro heard precedes the giving of the Torah. Interestingly enough, If one goes to Pirkei Avos in the Mishnayos, then you'll see that one of the 48 Kinyanim, the way you acquire the Torah, is through Ozen Koshavet, Ozen Shomat, an ear that's listening. You have to know how to listen. Listen is to internalize and to act accordingly. We see the same idea brought down by the Mechilta that refers to prior to the Matan Torah, all the kings of the nations heard the thunderous sounds and gathered together to get advice from Bilam, the prophet of the nations. They were concerned that Hashem again is trying to bring the whole world to an end, just like He did with the Mabul, with the flood, just this time with fire instead of water. But Bilam told them, don't worry, he's just giving over the Torah to Bnei Israel, to the Jewish people. And what did the kings reply? Hashem should bless His people with peace. But Yitro heard the same thunderous noises, and it affected him. He wasn't just saying, oh, okay, Baruch Hashem, good for them, for the Jewish people. He came to join the Jewish people as a result of that and to accept the Torah. With this, we can also answer the other question we asked at the beginning. What was it so unique about the war with Amalek that affected Yitro? The answer to that is, it's not per se the Milchemes Amalek, the war with Amalek on its own. It's the combination. Yitro said to himself, how can it be that after everyone hearing of the unbelievable miracle that Hashem did by splitting of the sea, and how can there be a nation out there that can still come and try to fight with Bnei Israel? The fact that those two coexist shows me that if a person doesn't act immediately upon what he saw, then it just goes away and that's it, and it's lost. And that's why he felt he had to act accordingly, internalizing what he saw and come to join the Jewish people. Or else, like we said, it just dissipates. And that's exactly what he learned. It's not per se from the Milchemes Amalek, the war with Amalek alone. It's that combination that such a thing could occur after the splitting of the sea. More than that, I would like to be medayik that the Rashi doesn't say the fact that we won the war with Amalek. He's just referring to the actual ability that a nation could come and create a war, go to war with Bnei Israel after the huge miracle they went through with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That I think we managed to answer all the questions we said at the beginning, just to go over them. We learned from Yitro one very important message, to internalize and to act accordingly, and that's how we should listen, or whatever we see, whatever experiences we go through, and use them to get closer to Hashem. If you don't do them immediately, it just dissipates. This is what we learned from Yitro, and it's a prerequisite to get to the Torah. That's why the episode of Yitro was put before Matan Torah. As well, that's why he deserved to have a whole sedra based on his name. And I think with that we answered all the questions. We also answered that it was the combination of him hearing the splitting of the sea like everyone heard, plus the fact that there could be such a nation out there that would fight Am Yisrael, and that made him realize I better act accordingly or else it won't have an effect on me as well. I would like to end with two stories that my brother-in-law told me. He went to Shabbaton this past Shabbos with someone that led the Shabbaton. His name was Rabbi Wallace. He's in charge of a Kiruv movement called Arachim, which he went to this. They do Shabbatons over Shabbos from Thursday to Motzei Shabbos, and they really inject all there is to know and highlights about Yiddishkeit for people that didn't have the schus, didn't merit the schus to know so much about it. And I want to share with you two stories that he went through, and you can see through him how he internalized what he went through and acted accordingly, and that's what made him who he is today. Story number one, he was totally not from. He lived in Israel for a couple of years. He also lived in America for a lot of years. In any case, he was living in Israel, and his wife, and they were not from at the time, asked him to please pick up some meat for him, or to buy something at the store on the way. So he's waiting in the fast food store, and he's waiting to get a sandwich. And as he's waiting in line, he sees that they're selling pig's meat. And then suddenly it hits him that he remembers a story his father told him about his grandfather, that he was in the Holocaust and he managed to survive everything until the last day when the Americans came and the war was about to be over. And came to him, Yimach Shmam, the SS sergeant whatever, the soldier, and he came up to him, he goes, listen, I want you to know something, that's it, the Americans got here, the war is over. I'm letting you go, and there's nothing I can do. But I know you're the most righteous out of them all. I'm only letting you go if you eat this sandwich that I have in my pocket. Here, take just one bite. And it was pig's meat, and he put a gun to his head, and he said, if you don't eat it, then I'm going to kill you. And this is how all has been documented. And I think it's in this book called Incredible. You can see this story. And at the end of the day, he kills him because he wasn't willing to eat from that sandwich. And at that point, it hit him. And Rabbi Wallace said to himself, how can it be that I'm waiting in line to eat this when my grandfather was willing to give up his life for this? And indeed, did give up his life. And he said that that started having a chain of effect on him. And it led him to go to this Shabbaton that he's now one of the people in charge of, called Arachim. At that time it was very, very small. It wasn't such a big thing. But he went there and that affected him. And he said, that's it. Because over there very explosive, and they really inject in you everything. They give you a chance to ask any question you want. You can challenge anyone there on any point. And he realized this is the truth. And from that point in time, he came home, he put his kippah on, and his wife said to his mother, please do something about this. But she said, no, he's right. And his father said, yeah, he's right. And he started putting a kippah on, and etc. And slowly they all were impacted by this. The next day, from then, he said, that's it, I gotta make a major change. And he decided that he was gonna be in charge of Arachim and take it to another step, which he did. And it's unbelievable what has done. I know many, many people were impacted by them and totally changed their lives upside down. The reason I'm giving this as a second story is because his whole idea of Arachim is, why is he doing it over one weekend? Because he realizes this concept. It's only when you get injected with everything there is to know about Yiddishkeit over one weekend that you have now the tools to act accordingly. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed us is that if we don't act accordingly, it's just going to dissipate. And that's exactly the idea of this Arachim. They give you all the values of Yiddishkeit in one weekend, so that right after that you can already take action and make a change. Yiratzon, that everything we go through life, we don't just let it go away and dissipate, but rather we take it, we internalize it, we know how to listen, we internalize it and act accordingly by getting us closer to Hashem. Good job.